we need to recognize that ministry is not something we do on the side. How would I live? How would I run a company? How would I do things differently if Christ is about to return? The motivation changes. I guess I just want to break free from this idea of I'm going to generate money to get mine. We have a higher calling than that. Once we start shaking off these external motivators, right? It's what society tells us success looks like. The quicker we can actually get into where God needs us to be and fulfilling the mission he has for us.
Welcome to the Hive Podcast. I want to introduce to you Rob Bertolf. He's one of the most experienced SEO experts and SaaS providers in the world. His patents, software, skills, and technologies have brought him to many places around the globe, including top positions for billion-dollar companies in Silicon Valley, the University of Hawaii, the U.S. military, and many more. But I tell you, if Rob had to introduce himself, he probably wouldn't be mentioning any of these things, because Rob became a follower of Jesus, and ever since then, he has been on fire for the Lord. Very excited to have him here on the show. He's going to share some inspiring things about Advent Ventures. That's a new business he started. It's basically an academy for missional entrepreneurs, and he's working closely together with Hive to make that happen. The first question that I was thinking about was, what problem did he encounter the last couple of years?
So it's an interesting one, right? Like, it's all about priorities. And when I think through really the last decade of how I've just kind of been out, you know, running businesses, making money, I didn't have a lot of time to do really to do any sort of missional work. And, you know, I was doing the DIFM missional work. I was, you know, I was paying my tithe, my double tithe, but I wasn't doing anything directly for God. And I had about 5 years ago, I had a period where I said, okay, I really need to get out of the city. I need to, you know, start being a missionary. You know, I had a calling to write a book on logical theology. And so I left, and it was hard. It was a major challenge to get out, but I got out of the city. And I started, you know, gardening and homesteading, and I built a tiny house and I built a food forest, and I was really doing it every day. And the problem was that, one, I wasn't making any money. And two, I still wasn't doing what I was called to do. I wasn't writing the book, right? I wasn't doing what God had asked me to do, because I was so busy running a homestead, and it was a lot more work than I could have possibly imagined, right? Just, you know, and I didn't even have animals at this point. Right. I didn't have bees. I didn't have animals. And it was still pretty much a full-time job, you know, just with the garden itself. And so then I thought, okay, I've got to, through a series of I think, you know, how God led me was he actually brought me back into the city in a tiny apartment where I spent, you know, over a year just working on finishing the book and, you know, creating the curriculum. And so it kind of dawned on me that how miserable I was in the city. Okay. I mean, when I was creating the curriculum, I'm not going to lie. I was not super, you know, I needed to be outside. I needed to do things, but that's what came down to this idea that it almost was like I couldn't wear three hats at once. And I realized that I needed to kind of have a better support system in place. And so I'd called my friends. I'd be like, hey guys, let's go move into the city together, and you can run the garden and I'll do, you know, the business, and somebody else do the ministry or whatever it would be. You know, we'll do an 80-20 rule, or I'll do, you know, 80% business and 20% ministry or whatever it would be. And it was hard because there was just so many challenges that went through that. And so ultimately what I'm working on now, what the new venture is, ultimately is just a way to kind of blend those. And so it's, how do I create opportunities for people that don't even have the skills in the background that I have? Like, how can I first take everything that God has allowed me to learn and put this in a package where I can save time? Because I think time is short, right? Yeah. And how can I package up what it took me decades to learn in business, in theology, in homesteading, and put that in a way that's easily consumable, and then connect people together in order to ultimately live a calling, right? And it's interesting because when we look at this kind of this intersection of this greater ecosystem, it's all about sustainability, you know, and in the world, we talk about environmental sustainability, and I appreciate that. But there's also financial sustainability that we need as homesteaders, that we need as, you know, ministries. And there's emotional sustainability, right? The really the spiritual sustainability that we need as business people, right? And I think what's interesting is having a network, having an ecosystem built where we're kind of bringing everybody together and having primary and secondary roles where we can do everything, but we're doing it in a way that is, more achievable, more sustainable. And you know, that's kind of it's a big vision of the problem that I'm looking to solve. But what it typically came down to was everyone said, okay, look, it's great, but we need money, you know? And so a big piece of this still is, how do we raise the capital that we need to do, to have the lifestyle and to have the mission, without having to focus. And so that's kind of been a lot of kind of what Advent Ventures is all about is, I mean, really kind of it's, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, with Hive, it's that intersection of mission and entrepreneurship, right? Missional entrepreneurship and making that possible. And I think with Advent Ventures, it's almost a subsegment of that or a different intersection, which is capitalism and, for lack of a better word, socialism, right? Not socialism from a political sense, but this really rooted in the idea of, you know, Acts 4:32, right? Of how people were all of one accord and they came together and they brought what they had together. And like, I'm like, you know, maybe I was born in the wrong generation. Maybe I should have been born in like the Woodstock generation or something of like a bunch of hippies on communes. I don't know, but that's half joking. But what I mean by this is I believe when we understand the times we're living in and understand like none of this is ours, right? And that God entrusts everything to us. And so I want to be at that intersection of capitalism and, you know, community, I guess is the idea. So anyway, that's a long-winded response to it, maybe a problem, but.
No, that's, I love that, man. This is great. Now, two questions to follow up here. First one, you mentioned Advent Ventures, right? That's the name. I want to know, how did you come up with the name? And then also, second thing, when you decided that you have to take action, what was the first step you took? Like, where are you in the process right now?
Yeah, good question. So the Advent Ventures, the word Advent, you know, is probably familiar to most of us, right? We kind of recognize that as Adventist, you know, we're Adventists. But it was interesting to me as I started really doing a course on Adventism. And I was like, well, I want to define, like, what does Seventh-day Adventist mean? And that sounds like a silly question. You're like, well, duh, it's our religion. But like, break it apart. What does it mean? And seventh day is obvious, right? It's, you know, it's the day we choose to worship on. That's based on the biblical, you know, what God, the day that God hallowed, the day that God blessed, right? And then we think, well, okay, well, that's seventh day, no problem. That's pretty straightforward. But there's actually a lot of different seventh day denomination. So what's this part of the Adventist? And so I actually looked the word up, right? And the definition of Adventist is believing in the imminent second coming of Christ. And I was like, okay, yeah, I believe in the imminent second coming of Christ, but I don't know what imminent means. So I looked at the word imminent and it means about to occur, likely to happen at any moment.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, hold on. Like, am I actually living Like I know Jesus is about to come, right? Sure, right? But am I living like he's actually about to come? Like that he's about to come like now, right? And in the bigger scheme of things. And I think, you know, how would I live? How would I run a company? How would I do things differently? Because I've run Berthoff Ventures for many, many years now. And Advent Ventures is essentially me realizing that, you know, I need to be living as if Christ is about to return. And how would I do things differently? And, you know, the motivation changes. So I guess that's kind of the idea of the Advent side of things is, you know, when we, it's interesting, you know, in the Bible we read about in 2 Peter, how, you know, be not ignorant, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. The day of the Lord is like 1,000 years to us, right? So if we're to take this perspective, right, and again, this is not about setting dates, it's not, but just take this perspective, right? How Jane Andrews actually wrote a big piece in the Review and Herald. In fact, he wrote 7 different articles in the Review and Herald on this concept of the great cosmic week. And this idea that, you know, a day is 1,000 years. And so this 6,000 years. And so ultimately what we realize is that we are, it doesn't even matter which the date is. We just know this is Friday afternoon for Jesus, right? And sundown is going to be coming pretty quick, you know? And when in our time, a year seems so long and a decade seems so long, but if you do the math on it, right? I mean, 40 years is an hour in God's time. Okay. So when you kind of put that into perspective, it's like, wow, like we need to be, it is literally, Jesus is literally coming any second.
Hmm.
And that to me is the powerful thing. So,
wow.
That's really what the name is rooted in. And I think when you talk about the journey, like that's an interesting one. And this is a conversation for what I love that I believe Hive is solving, is when I wanted to start this off, it's kind of like, well, who do I connect with? And this is too big for me. And I did, I prayed, God, like connect with the right people because this is way too big. And I've done big ideas, but this is bigger than me. And so I kind of started off by just trying to get people on board. And there's a lot of people who are like, cool, Rob, that sounds good. That sounds like a fairy tale. Have fun with that, you know? And you know, even the people that really believed in me were like, okay, but like, how do we action on this? And so ultimately kind of where I think, you know, stuff has been leading is I do see God has been moving. All of a sudden, you know, we have land donated for the Entrepreneurship Center and the school, which is one of our core kind of initiatives. And we have, you know, a site plan already developed. And so the first thing we're doing right now is actually building the Missional Entrepreneurship School Academy, and as well as the office spaces for our venture studio. And so that's kind of, you know, that's kind of our current update. You know, I do see a lot of momentum happening right now. And candidly, I've been trying to do this for, I don't know, many years. And the last 3 to 5 years, I've been really pushing this idea. And only just now has really God like connected the dots. But during that time, he's had me develop a lot of curriculum that we'll be using for the academy and a lot of other things. So it's not time wasted, but it's definitely a lesson that I know when I think back, look, I'm going to be candid. Like I get discouraged, right? It's been so many years. I feel like I'm at the end of this. I have to feel like I'm this thing. It's like, you know, it's like I'm at the end of the race. You ever watch people at the finish line of the marathons, you know, and they're like, their legs barely move anymore. And they're just kind of like dragging themselves over their arms, so to speak. That's some days how I feel.
Yeah.
Right. And it's weird that I'm like starting a venture feeling like I'm at that age because it's been a long journey to get to here. And that's the beautiful thing or the interesting thing about entrepreneurship, right. Is everybody's like, oh, wow, you're an overnight success. And it's like, no, I've been grinding on this for 10 years. I've just been under the, you know, and so I'm just hoping that, you know, this next year will be the year that we kind of, you know, get that visibility of, you know, of saying, hey, well, you guys are actually, you know, doing something now. It's like, yeah, well, we've been kind of doing stuff. It's just been, you know, it's kind of under the, below the waterline, so to speak. So.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. We're going to take a short break. I want to talk to you later about the details a little bit. What exactly are you planning? What's your vision? How do you want to combine country living and then also the missional aspect with the entrepreneurial aspect, working from home, working online, all these different things. I know you have great ideas, great details to share. So yeah, I encourage everyone else to stay with us. After the break, we're going to cover that.
Do you know why Hive exists? Do you know that God gave us a calling to reach the cities with missional entrepreneurship? Ellen White called it the Beehive Method, and it's all about full-time mission work, including all talents. Check out our new blog and learn more about the Beehive model and many other topics. Just go to hiveinternational.org.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Hive Podcast. I'm here with Rob, and we are very excited to talk about the vision that God gave Rob when it comes to missional entrepreneurship and venture studios. Now, Rob, tell me a little more about what exactly are you planning to do? We've been talking about country living. We've been talking about missionary work, online, offline, in person, all these different things. Let's connect the dots here. Tell me more.
Absolutely. So I think it kind of goes back to a couple, experiences that I had. One was when I was out on the farm, I experienced this program called WOOF, W-W-O-O-F. And it blew my mind because people were wanting to come, leave the city, and go work on a farm. And they were willing to do, 20 to 30 hours a week just for food and board, right? And that's, they absolutely loved it. I was a WOOF host for about a year and a half, I think. And we had a lot of people come through. And what I realized was the people that are coming through are, for lack of a better word, seekers, right? They were trying to find, connect to something greater than themselves. And they were so open-minded. And every person that came, they would come and they would stay. I had a little cabins and things. And every person that came left with a Bible.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, this is actually like a really interesting way to mission, to do missionary work, right? This is a really interesting way to witness. And what I realized was for me, I'm not the guy that goes and knocks on doors, right? That's not who I am, right? I'm not going to go knock on a door and push a Bible in someone's face. And I'm not even, and there are people out there that can do it successfully. It's just not me, right? But what I realized was, when I actually if I surrender to God and truly demonstrate the character of Christ, right, in a sense of just full submission and, connecting with Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to live in me and live out through me, right, and demonstrating His character, then that's the most powerful way to witness. And what I love about, connecting with you and with Jesse and the whole Hive, international concept of missional entrepreneurship is that your ministry is just you living a normal life, but then living that as Christ would live in the sense of, full other-centeredness and just embodying like the joy that comes with Christ. And so if you're a business person, you can be a full-time missionary by simply just sharing what you believe and living up to the standards that we're given, attention to detail. If you're an employee, attention to detail, right? If you're a business owner, this idea of just being fair and customer service, right? It's about, just being patient and kind, the Beatitudes, it's all there. And what I realized again, going back to the land was I think the most effective way for me to be a missionary was to have people come stay with me and to teach them something valuable. Here's how to garden. Here's how to, propagate. Here's how to do food preservation, whatever it is. And that the whole time they're learning something valuable, they're learning about, Crazy Rob comes out and tells them about the Great Controversy, right? but the idea simply is you reach a new, the guard is down and you're actually talking to, you're having friendships, right? Versus just pushing information. So this is a little bit longer thing just to say what I discovered was that program. And I thought, why don't Adventists have a network like this? And that's kind of where, when I talk about Advent Ventures, but there's a lot of pieces to this, right? And one piece is Advent Homesteads. And Advent Homesteads literally is people that are, they have been called to leave the city, right? But we're also not called not to be a light under a candle under a bushel. Right. And so I believe that as we have a duty to bring people in to our farms. And I think here's my call for this because I think every homestead or every outpost needs to have some temporary housing, needs to have, you know, a couple extra bedrooms in the house or a couple little tiny houses on the land. And I think you need to be bringing in these volunteer workers, right? Especially ones that are seeking the truth and are interested in connecting with nature and connecting with something greater than themselves. And I think that is the mission work, right? And I think that that's, we have this, I think there's this stigma almost of, oh, the people that leave the others, you know, they're all preppers, they're doomsdayers, you know? And maybe that's what they're actually, some people's motivation is. But I think we are called to leave the city, but I think we're also called to be a light on a hill. And that can come in different ways. I think one way is to have a infrastructure where Adventist homesteads don't feel overwhelmed because they have extra help, and where people can come and have a really cool environment to learn about their Savior. So that's one piece of this bigger ecosystem. And then the second piece that ecosystem ultimately is making that sustainable, right? Because these, as an example, the woofers, they only stay typically a few weeks or a few months at most, because then they have to, you don't get paid by being in that program. So they have to go and, you know, they get their car bill or their cell phone bill to pay and these other things. And so I thought, what if there was some sort of economical offset where you could sponsor some of these people from coming out? And it's like, we're not talking much, we're talking cell phone bill money, right? And the idea that they could stay for a more of extended period of time. And this is where it becomes interesting also for our Adventist youth, right? When we start looking at, you know, I talk to a lot of kids that are like, oh, I want to go travel over here, I want to go travel over there. They just kind of want to get their, you know, stretch their wings a little bit. So what do we do? Do we let them just, you know, run off to these big cities and find their way into clubs, right? Or do we say, hey, we have homesteads for you to come to, right? And allow them to get on this kind of this network of different homesteads so they can come and learn how to garden, right? But also, what if they could learn how to do business? And so one of the initiatives we talked about was we're building a Missional Entrepreneurship Academy. And a big piece of that academy is how to learn remote work skills. And the idea is that they can we can allow people to come to us, right? Or online, which is, we'll talk about that in a little bit with this relationship with how they can get it free for being a member of Hive. But they can get this online training to teach them about remote work skills. And then part of Advent Ventures is an agency. My history is I've run several marketing agencies and, you know, dev shops. And what I want to do is I want to stand up, you know, the world's largest agency, essentially, right? With all these workers that can then go stay on Advent homesteads. And so it starts breeding this financial element where they say, they're going to learn from us. They're going to then go stay for a year or 6 months or however, you know, 2 months at a time, whatever it is, at these different homesteads where they're working, and the money that they're earning is then helping with buying beans and buying, you know, seeds and the, ultimately it becomes this kind of a way of diverting funds, right, from the world into this ecosystem. And so Advent Ventures is actually a not-for-profit capitalist organization, which is an oxymoron. But that's the idea, is like, how do we generate revenue and push that into the homesteads to, you know, I would love to just like, my goal with Advent Ventures is how do we essentially generate as much money as we can and use that money to buy land or take donated land and build infrastructure, right? Off-grid living, right? That would allow also for remote work. And you start pairing these up. And then there's a third kind of piece too. You can almost imagine these as little circles, right? I call it the hand, the heart, and the head. And so like the head, without any sort of, you know, real connotations past that, the head is the idea of business, right? The hand is the idea of gardening. And the heart is the idea of ultimately ministry. But what if the hand and the heads got together and they said, look, I'm willing to work, you know, a remote work job to pay for this lifestyle out here. And the hand said, I'm willing to maintain a garden in order to us to have really good produce and handle some of the, you know, the logistics and the maintenance stuff. And what if we got together and we said, and we want to bring people in that are full-time, you know, interesting ideas, creative ideas with evangelism, where they're coming in and we have maybe creator studios, or we have, I would love to sponsor someone to come and stay on the farm. And all they did was walk around the town and smile and wave at people and make conversations with people, right? In the local community, right? Or I would love to have a job description where somebody's just there to like volunteer to help with yard work or take someone to the airport or just be there to listen. And I think like that's how we're going to really move the needle, is by having a third group of people who are, and again, it's the 80-20 rule. So they'll be doing 20% of their time in something else. But you know, if 80% of their time was just out listening and being other-centered, like think how as a you know, what the intersection of these three ultimately groups is Advent Ventures, is the Advent ecosystem of Advent Ventures and Advent Homesteads and the School of the Prophets and all that. So yeah, I mean, again, it's a lot to unpack, but hopefully that gives just a little bit of details around you know, what we're up to and how this kind of looks is we're going to be running two different main initiatives. One is Advent Ventures, and that ultimately is that starts with the Academy. So it's a missional entrepreneurship academy that is online training, which, by the way, I'll say this one more time, but if you want access to this, we're right now rolling this out. And so if you want access to this, be a Hive member. And if you're registered with Hive, you'll get access to the Academy for free. And so that's about a $700 value just for the online training. And we're actually, like I said, building the physical Academy, which will be available for next year. But what we're also doing is we're starting our first cohort in November. So we actually have our first cohort was going to be three companies, and we are taking applicants that want to, they'll just be able to stay at the Entrepreneur House over the winter. And we're going to be launching out different companies, and the idea is that they can have, we're looking for people that are, have some experience with running a startup, or at least have, you know, this isn't our fully newbie class yet, but people that have a little bit of experience, they want to gain a little bit more experience. And coming in, we're going to launch three companies over the summer, over the winter, and use the revenue to then, expand out into next year. So that's kind of the trajectory is ultimately, the Academy into the venture studio. And then later we're going to launch an accelerator program, which is other people's ideas coming in once we have our residency program set up.
Praise God. That sounds really, inspiring to me. Every time you share that, you know, I feel really drawn to a comprehensive solution like that. It just sounds really amazing. It makes me want to sign up right away and say, okay, I'll be part of this, you know, and just having this community that you shared about, what we find in the Bible, I mean, Acts 2, Acts 4, like all these different, like how you call it, like the social part of the community, right? I mean, this is something that is so important. You know, we've been neglecting that for a long time, and I think it's crucial, you know, also to for other people to see Christ's character reflected in us, you know, and so I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Anything else you want to share at this point? Do you have any other words or any part of your vision that you haven't shared yet?
Well, I think like that's a question that you should be afraid to ask, because you know me with my long tangents. But yeah, I think the big picture is this: is we need to recognize that ministry is not something we do on the side, right? And that the best way to minister is to demonstrate the character of Christ, in which candidly I fall short all the time, right? But what I do recognize is the more that I, you know, it's kind of like data analytics, and I've used this example before, but it's like analytics. It's like if I look at myself 5 years ago, I'm like, wow, that's a wretch. You know, if I look at myself today, I'm like, wow, that's a wretch. But if I look at myself today versus the 5 years ago, I'm like, okay, I'm getting better. So it's this idea of kind of, you know, setting benchmarks, realizing that, you know, this idea of righteousness by faith is a real concept. And the idea that when Christ says, you know, we are to be his ambassadors, and when Christ says that, you know, we are to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and when the more I understand the role of you know, who the 144,000 are, who the final generation are going to be, they are witnessing through their character, right? They're witnessing not through pushing things and then going back on into the world, right? They're demonstrating the character of Christ and living the same way that Christ lived, in the sense of just full surrender and just other-centeredness. And I guess I just want to break free from this idea of I'm going to generate money to get mine, right? And this is what I tell my mentees all the time, is like, hey guys, like, you know, we have a higher calling than that, right? And I know that you have ambitions, right? And I know that your ambitions say that you want to make money to prove yourself, because we have all these external motivators happening. And you know, I had the same, and you know, I've gotten back to me, yeah, Rob, but you've already, you know, achieved what you wanted to achieve. So it's easy for you to say, just go all in for God, because you already lived it, you know? And one of the things that we have to look at is, and I truly believe, is once we start shaking off these external motivators, right? It's what society tells us success looks like. The quicker we can actually get into where God needs us to be and fulfilling the mission he has for us. And so I would just challenge us to rethink what success looks like. And for me, success is this. It's, you know, being in nature, being able to get closer to God, having my bills covered where I'm not thinking about things, right? But not so much that I'm planning my next trip or what I'm going to buy next, and being involved in consumerism. It's about having, like we read again in Acts, like no one lacked anything, right? And so I just want to have enough where I don't think about it anymore and be in nature with God and know that I'm doing God's will, but not hiding out in nature, because we're bringing people in and we're having these really personal experiences with people who are living with us and bringing people through. That to me is how I see mission work happening to a large degree. Now, there's going to be a lot of other pieces and like different models. But ultimately it comes down to, you know, it's us, and let's reset what success looks like and let's live as God intended.
I hope you've been inspired by today's episode. If you want to get access to the Academy curriculum that Rob mentioned, just make sure to register as a Hive member on our website. Then we'll notify you and you'll get free access. I'll be back with another episode next Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern. And I have a Brazilian guest this time with me, so I hope you're tuning in. See you then.